Well, from that wonderful verse, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I hope you're getting a bit warmer. It's lovely that the sun has shone this morning. I was in a parish in Dorset where it got so cold we had to issue blankets. We haven't quite got that stage here at St. Mary's this morning. Can we sum up the gospel in three words, I wonder? Can we find a phrase that brings together the incarnation, when God became flesh, the crucifixion that we've listened to, and the resurrection? Can we describe the means by which the way of rebellion and pride is replaced by freedom and justice? Can we cover the stupendous Sermon on the Mount, the abiding presence of Jesus, the descent of the Holy Spirit, and the return of Christ in simply three words? Yes, we can. Christ is King. And that's what we're celebrating today, the feast of Christ the King. The earliest followers of Jesus had such a phrase. They knew that the key to the Christ life was the proclamation that Jesus is Lord. In other words, they knew that he reigned not over them, but also over all creation. The claim of kingship was not an abstract concept for Jesus or the people who followed him. It was the sign of their sharpest break from the world and the source of their persecution. When Gentiles living in the Roman Empire proclaimed that Jesus was Lord, they were also proclaiming that Caesar was not. When Jesus proclaimed the kingship of Christ, they were going against the nationalistic expectation that Jesus as Messiah would overthrow the Roman occupation. They were an anathema to the Jews. Anyone using the phrase was marked out as subversive and dangerous. But unknown to Pilate, he nailed to the cross the very title that Jesus was and is, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Centuries of Christian history have in many ways dulled the nature of the phrase Christ the King. It is easy to translate the words of Jesus, "My kingdom is not of this world," as meaning a purely spiritual one. The phrase has often become a subject of inner belief and not one of outward compassion. Accepting the kingship of Christ has relevance for the way we spend our money, the way we live, our daily lives, and the seriousness of the mission that God has called us all to be about. If Christ's kingship has nothing to say to injustice, greed, inequality, violence, and help for the poor, it simply remains a nice theological statement. Take, for instance, in the New Testament when Jesus said, "I have been anointed to preach good news to the poor." Interestingly, there are more than 2,000 verses in the Bible concerned with the need to help the poor, who Jesus gave his priority to. One out of every 16 verses in the New Testament mentions poverty, and in Luke's Gospel, it is one out of every 7. There are at least 14 passages in Luke which refer to the tragedy of poverty. Blessed are the poor. And the text, "the poor are always with us," actually means we should always stand with the poor and do something about them. Today, on the threshold of Advent, we celebrate Christ's kingdom upon our lives. We are a royal priesthood. We belong to him, and he lovingly belongs to us, releasing us from sin and eventual death into a resurrected life. Belonging to the kingship of Christ gives us three main priorities. Firstly, Christ wants to have sovereignty over us. This relationship is not to be equated with, say, a monarch, like a ceremonial king, but a relationship that puts Christ first, asking the Holy Spirit to give us direction to follow him as a disciple. Secondly, Christ has a body of people to care for, called the church. The body of true believers, not just churchgoers, but those who love him and care for others, as you do so well here at St. Mary's. For the kingdom of God is within us. What a stupendous thought. And thirdly, Christ's kingdom stretches over all the world. The kingdom of Christ is not a territorial landmass. His kingdom reigns in the hearts of all who commit themselves to Christ. And we have a responsibility for our persecuted brothers and sisters, towards those who are hungry, homeless, and poor. And it's our privilege to help. Hope and I recently, with our family, returned from Rwanda, where we celebrated only 100 years of the Anglican mission to Rwanda. And I came across this prayer when the King of Rwanda, this was in 1946, only 20 years after Christianity had come to Rwanda. And by the way, we have been blessed with over 1,800s of Christian faith in our own country. You can see Christian tombs along Hadrian's Wall dating back to the 2nd century. But here's what the king said in 1946. Lord Jesus, King of all peoples and families, you and your mother, the Virgin Mary, I, Mutara Ruhengera, do kneel here to confirm that you are the supreme ruler from whom proceeds the government and the kingdom of Rwanda. Lord, Christ the King, you are the one who created Rwanda and gave her rulers to govern her on your behalf. You increased her and led her through many generations before she knew you. When you saw that the right time had come, you spread your kingdom in her. You brought your messengers to spread the light of the knowledge of eternal life. You sent those to bring her up, to teach her government and develop all good and profitable things here on earth. And all of us Rwandans do openly declare our allegiance to you, that you are our king. We respectfully receive the truth of eternal life. Heavenly King, I give you my whole country, my family, and myself. In conclusion, God intended that Jesus should give us a spiritual kingdom in our hearts. And we remember from that reading from the Gospel, Christ died in humiliation, like a lamb that was slain, taking the pain of the world's sins into his body on that tree. And our response to his kingship is that we give Christ full authority over our lives so that we may be available for him, that we acknowledge his kingship over his church universally and locally here at St. Mary's, which you so ably do, delighting to be part of his body here on earth, serving and pleasing him in any way possible, and then taking to heart when Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," quietly and confidently loving our Lord in Christ's kingdom on earth until the fullness of his kingdom will be revealed to each one of us in heaven. Amen. Amen.